Good evening, council, mayor, staff, citizens. I've got a handout in front of you. It should be in front of you, just a few pages here. Let's go over the key assumptions for the 2013 budget. And this will probably take up most of the 50 minutes that I have. I'm assuming slow, modest growth for 2013, which kind of translates into like a 3% growth for sales tax, 3% growth for permits, and 3% growth for that, all kinds of different revenues, nothing gigantic. And again, number two, the same for past couple of years. We have to supplement the revenues for streets and have to slam a bunch of solid waste tax money into the street fund to keep that street fund solvent. We get less than $300,000 a year for gasoline excise taxes and a real small amount for encroachment permits. The rest is solid waste tax to support that streets fund. And it's just recurring stuff, which is kind of the next point. Number three is we used to do a sidewalk program and road maintenance program, but third year in a row, there's really no extra money for that. And we had funded it from REIT 2 for roads and solid waste tax in the past. Yep. What? What about it?
You want to use your microphone because we still are recording.
I can actually barely hear you. Can you speak in your mic? I know there's not a big audience here, but
just because we've got to record anyway.
Budget item in for lapel, actually. It's specific projects within the city, isn't it?
Yes.
So that's some road improvements, I would hope.
But yeah, but they're the ones that are already listed.
Yeah.
You can't go out and fix things that
you can't make changes.
You can't do potholes. Let's put it that way.
Right. So I think the point is that we're not, you know, we had set aside 200 and 100 from regular revenues. We're still not doing that, but that still allows us to use the new transportation benefit district monies for those projects we had anticipated. But these two programs that we traditionally funded out of regular revenues, sales tax, property tax, we still can't.
Well, let's go back to what you said, though. That doesn't say we can't use it for potholes.
No.
We'd have to designate.
You're required to deal with the list that we've already adopted.
Correct.
Or change the list.
Correct.
Right? Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you guys are the board, so.
Correct. No. You can do whatever you want in name streets with those funds. But what you have to do is say in advance what it is you're going to do, and then stick to the list or change the list.
Correct.
Sure. You want to keep faith in the voters. They approved it. At this early stage in the budget things, I haven't put anything in for spending any of that money in TBD. But I'm sure we'll list a few projects on the list for 2013.
Right, and the first one is Thornton. Thornton would do that repair because we received federal grants. And then to match that, then we would use the first PPP dollars. And that's what it has on our list.
And those we started collecting in July.
Yeah, we'll see the first money September 24th. At least I'll know how much it is on September 24th. We'll receive it on September 30th this month.
Yeah. Okay. Lloyd, you had a question?
That's always strange to me out here, the word assumptions. So when you say you use that, this is your proposed, you're assuming that we're buying into all this? I mean,
well, not yet. You haven't bought into it.
Okay, but this
is starting this process.
Okay,
it'll end up in an ordinance, a budget ordinance in November or December that you'll vote on yes or no.
So given everything here, this is the way it progresses in your eyes or Gary's eyes or whose assumption is it?
My eyes.
It's your eyes.
Yeah,
okay.
It's your finance director's eyes.
Okay.
With the wealth of experience, expertise.
Yeah. Same guy's been doing it for you for, what, 5-6 years now?
Yeah.
Eight. Okay. Who's counting?
Now we know who the man is behind the curtain.
Exactly. Yeah.
And number four is no vehicle purchases except from grants. We really haven't bought any vehicles lately except we've got some insurance money when we wreck them, and you know we get some money from insurance, and add a little bit to it to get a new police car or two. Thank you. Well, that equipment fund is not has a real low cash balance. Really don't think we can afford to charge an extra charge for capital, the water, sewer, storm, general fund. Just tough to absorb that. But we have not had multiple purchases just from that fund for years. The police commission staff remains at 17 officers. I know that in January when a council met at their retreat, that was kind of their number one priority if funds were available to add the commission officers. But just like this year, the budget is 17, and it's looking like 17 next year for right now. 17 commission officers, 2 support staff. Then we're getting into some interesting items, number 6. Loss of liquor tax profits, 2013. We're going to be down $57,000 next year just because of the way the law was written. I sat in on a webinar with AWC that kind of headed it, explaining to all the cities, including a big old spreadsheet. We're actually losing about $15,000 this year, but it's not a big enough thing yet to bring forward. But next year, we're losing $57,000 in revenues. That's general fund revenues. Now, they restore that in 2014. But the prediction is for 2013, next year.
Who got it for 2013?
State General Fund.
Let's divert for a second. And because I keep researching the proposal to legalize marijuana, and regardless of whether you think about it, the way I read it or the way I look at it is that's going to be a budget hit because – well, it's going to be sold through the special liquor stores. So our liquor store is moving over there next to Quiznos. So that the guy that bought our liquor license franchise that wasn't our liquor store is moving there. And I always wondered, like, why would you pay $250,000 for that license? Yeah. Didn't mean racks, didn't include any inventory. But so that's where the marijuana would be sold through there. But we don't get any of that revenue. We get sales tax from it, but no revenue per se from the product. It's a 42% markup, but all that goes to the state. Now, here's where it hits, and I threw this to the chief, is we have to have the ability as a city to buy some new equipment because we can't just pull Lloyd over and Lloyd says, well, how come you're driving weird? Well, I've been smoking marijuana. I just got it from the... Okay, well, we've got to be able to test for that on a quick basis. To be able to charge that, because now you're driving, you know, you're driving on the marijuana, so you have to have special testing. So it looks like to me that for a small city, it's a
negative
budget, negative big time, and that's kind of my problem. It's like, well, okay, well, why is the state keeping all the money for this?
Well, in today's paper here, they're trying to smoke out, pardon the pun, the number, the dollars that were paid on the criminal law and justice side. Okay, how much are we spending? How many million on a county level? So I don't know if that's going to...
Well, with that, I mean, we rarely in our court, I've sat in our court several times, we don't prosecute. It's never for marijuana. It's somebody does something else. So, I urge you to spend some more time researching that. The way I read it, it looks like it caught my attention because it's like this figure. It's like, well, okay, here's something that doesn't help us at all.
The feds are still raiding California, these grow places around here.
Right.
I'm going to waste about 2 minutes researching that.
Yeah.
The state might go for it, the feds aren't going to go for it. So that's my view.
So Mark and Greg, or Mr. Mayor, so am I hearing this, or maybe I didn't hear it, or let me clarify it. When we sell right now from Hagen's or Cost Cutter, liquor sold, we get zero of that sales tax.
No, we get the sales tax.
Okay.
Because now if you looked at the charts Mark gave you, our sales tax is up.
Okay.
I don't have a way of telling you what. We don't have a way of telling you it's liquor. So I think that's part of it. But I don't know. I mean, I talked to one of the beer distributors and I said, what has it done? He goes, we can tell that people are kind of experimenting. You know, people have only a budget. Our beer sales are down. Our wine sales are down. But you look and go, that's, we kind of look at that. That's going to balance out. People are like, oh, I got only so so much money to buy alcohol. Oh, I'm going to buy rum because I can now. But he says, we're starting to see that already. We're starting to come back up where our beer and wine sales are coming back up. It's like, so that was kind of always their thought, is we'd see it in increased sales tax. But I don't think 57, you know, at least with the 57, we knew exactly where it was from. So how are they doing in 2014?
It's just the way the initiative was written, or the yeah, the initiative was written in.
So it's profit, isn't it? It's that
the excise tax. And they're just keeping it in the state budget rather than distributing it, right, which is what they normally would do. And then they're restoring it in 2014.
There's no more profit, right?
And from what I've seen in the stores, you go into Hagen's or you go even to Costco, you're paying more for alcohol than you used to at the state liquor store. Yeah. It's higher.
Yeah, according, if you look at some of the sales, I guess you can still do better. It's, you know, you're buying a bottle of vodka, it's 17 gallons. You know.
Yeah, that's a big Costco. Not that I would know, but
17 gallons.
Well, I know you.
Great big thing.
Have you been to the big stores and go, I didn't know they made bottles of booze that big?
No. Where is that? Costco?
They're not 17 gallons, but they're like.
What is it?
I think it's a
they're huge.
I think it's a 2 gallon bottle.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never seen anything that big in my
it's
life.
It's either a 1 gallon. Yeah.
It's a Costco brand. It's just
oh,
like Grey Goose.
What's
know?
That cost you? $400?
But it, I mean, I probably, I think it's 1 gallon.
It's a big thing.
It's a big bottle.
I didn't do it. It was a neighbor. You know.
Okay, yeah, wrong. Sorry.
I only threw in a 3% growth in sales tax, with the exception that we pick up the rest of the year's worth of sales tax from the Grandview AMPM Mini Mart. We finally started getting that money mid this year. So there's not a lot of growth assumed in sales tax.
Yep. Mark, in the big scheme of things, you know, we just heard that we had 10% because of the drought, 10% inflationary aspect of food. Is that adjusted for inflation or?
No, I didn't bump up sales tax, assuming people only have so much money to spend on food. So more rice and beans versus tenderloin steak.
I don't know, just
more hamburger, less steak.
Okay.
So when all is said and done on the liquor tax after the initiative passed last year, will the revenues to the city eventually be about what they had been, or is it?
That's my assumption. Okay. By 2014, they'll
take it
be about what they were in 2011, you know, 2012 without that one adjustment in 2012. Yeah. So then, number seven, here's another kind of hit on the cost side. Medical insurance, we got a preliminary quote of 10% increase on the from AWC on Regents, where most of our folks are, and a 15% quote on group health, which is just 4 to 6 people. I think there's 4 or 6 people on group health, and then a 5% increase on dental. So that, I ran some quick numbers, that's worth, just for the general fund, $67,000.
So minus 57 plus 67.
We have some contracts.
Number seven.
Yeah.
Say what?
Contracts coming up.
Yeah, we got negotiations for Teamsters.
That's
and
possible to share the pain in that.
Yeah, everyone's contributing some now. Like 75 a month, I think, is kind of the standard
$75
among all of our folks per month. Not a big percentage.
Or just 500. Yes. I have no sympathy there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so these are just some things that are going to whack us. Number eight, this wetlands mitigation monitoring. We made an adjustment this year with your approval for the general fund to pay for the wetlands mitigation monitoring. These are results of parks and roads where we did off-site mitigation, mostly at Tonico, and the other one is at the Van Der Yacht Park. And Second Avenue. And, you know, we had the storm fund folks paying for that. It didn't make any sense, kind of because our storm manager kind of manages that. So that wasn't in this year's budget. So next year, I put in 25, a hit to the general fund. Number nine, we've heard that the domestic violence consultant, the 60 grand that federal money pays for, may be going away entirely, the funding that is. So I took the 60 grand out of both revenues and expenses. This is the folks that key out of this center next to us here. Serve the small cities. It's federally funded dollar for dollar. Number 10, property tax increase. I've assumed 0% increase for 2013, just like the last 3 years, 0% increase. You have available to you almost $115,000 in banked capacity. Each 1% property tax increases 21.6, almost $22,000. And like I said, the last increase was 3% in for taxes paid in 2009. Police resource officer, here's kind of a quirky one. We've been getting $47,000 a year for our police resource officer at the school. The school district failed to pay their 2011 on time. So both of those payments, rather, they didn't pay the 2010 on time. And so we got in $47,000 plus $47,000 this in 2011. And so that was kind of a 2010, we were short. We got doubled in 2011, helped their cash balance. But we're only planning on $47,000 next year. So
did
that's
pay for 2012?
Say again?
I didn't see a 2012.
That's actually an error. Both of those were paid in 2012. And
so we have another $47,000 coming for 2012?
Yeah, in November. I'm going to be bugging them because the first one came in January. We send the bill like in August or September. And they,
do I have a late charge after 30 days?
No. No, we don't. So here we got kind of a windfall this year, $47,000 times two. Well, we're only getting $47,000 in 2013. And then there's nothing in the budget for next year in this draft, a preliminary budget for the nonprofits, economic development, et cetera, $25,050. That's not in here, the 2013 number. Y'all get to, if we get the grant requests on time, and y'all get to include that or not as they come in. Any kind of questions on this kind of assumption page?
What's in here for just a baseline assumed wage increases?
I use generally 4%. Mm-hmm. Now, kind of a sensitive number because we're entering union negotiations. We know what the police is, 1.5 for 2013. Zero this year. And these medical insurance increases. So this is a really preliminary number. So if you look at you can jump to page 3, you may as well. Page 3 has the estimated cost for 2013 for the general fund, which is the fund that is always hardest to balance. If you look at that 2013 column down below, we're currently underwater by almost $75,000, which isn't unusual at this stage of budget discussions. Again, revenues were just moderate increases, 3%, and whereas I basically put 4% on the expense side.
So just at doing this, we're already $75,000 in the hole?
Uh-huh. That's 0% property tax increase and a moderate amount of assumed new construction property tax. Like I say, a moderate amount. This year we got... We got almost $86,000 in new construction annexations and whatever a refund amount is. Came in at 86. I'm assuming $25,000 new construction for next year. Yes?
How much are you adding to left one this year?
50? I don't have that detail here. It's a moderate. Oh, this year?
13.
We put $50,000 in this year, and I have to take a look. It's probably another 50. A moderate amount.
Right.
Not a lot.
Which is, correct me if I'm wrong, it's less than what we paid out last year in expenses.
We paid 40 even, I believe.
That was like 57, but if I'm remembering correctly.
47. I don't have that real handy, but we've been paying in a little bit more than we spent, so it's been growing very slowly. We'll probably have a cash balance in that left fund at the end of this year, about 225.
and it should be ideally.
The state actuary says we should have 800 grand in there right now, which is a real low estimate. My estimate is 6 million. You know, my estimate assumed pretty high 10% annual inflation for the medical costs, the home health care, the assisted living, the certified nursing facility. And then on the revenue side, I'm assuming a very paltry amount of interest income, whereas the actuary has some 4 or 4.5% interest income. Both assumptions, I think, are way off. But looking at the longer term, but I still think that 800 grand is way too low. We're okay with the auditor as long as we're growing the fund steadily, the fund balance steadily. And we don't call it a reserve fund because it's an active operating fund. We spend $4,000 a month easily in insurance and other out-of-pocket costs, those three retired officers. So there's not a lot else to talk about here. The third page. So, you know, it's real early in the process. Once we know more about what I think our wage increases or not are going to be, we'll fine-tune the numbers. As more revenues come in, you might have seen the revenue graphs today. I got them done late, the revenue graphs through August. You know, if some of those continue to improve, maybe we can feel better about higher revenues for next year. I will say that the permits, residential commercial permits and fees, are looking pretty darn strong the last several months. And I think the residential outlook looks pretty darn good. Still kind of counting on one major new sales tax source, both traffic mitigation fees and water sewer connection fees for the end of this year or early next.
You're not assuming that in this?
No.
Thank you.
No. But it would sure help the water sewer and TIF situation. So that's about all I have. I guess I'm kind of ending early here, but I didn't want to load you with pounds of paper.
You said that you figured in $25,000 new construction property tax.
It's my assumption for next year.
Do you
it
know how many housing starts does that equal out to? Do you know?
Yori probably knows. You know, they go around every summer and actually look at the new construction. They get the data from planning, right? And then they go actually assess it once a year, the new construction. It's just, I don't want to be overly optimistic on revenues. You got to be conservative on revenues, conservative on costs when you're going in. And it's just kind of the way it is. Yep.
Thank you. Your initial budget here, preliminary budget, I'm going to assume that we're also assuming no money into library sink fund.
Yeah, that's correct. That's another good point.
Sure. And I know there's a little bit of energy in the world of library that they might pull a rabbit out of the hat, possibly, in which case we're on the hook for about a million.
Isn't it a little over a million? A million.
And so if they were to pull that rabbit out and we say, well, we need to do our million, that's about 80 a year, something like that?
We would have to sharpen our pencils and look for those sources. You know what? If you approve the resolution on the updated financial management policies, one of the new features in that is to, as a goal, if we get major retail by 2018, we set aside 1 year's debt service payments for all of our debt. We've done that on our revenue debt as required and some other selected loans with the state, not all. But as Greg and I were talking about the library sinking fund, I said, there's nothing in there for that. But if we came to it, we'd have to sharpen our pencils, take a harder look. I mean, I think we'd be pretty much, well, we'd have to look hard and figure out a financing plan for that debt service. Wouldn't want to be the one that says no. There might be we squeeze Solways, we squeeze REIT 1, maybe you think about a property tax increase. You haven't had one for 3 years. I'm not suggesting that. So anyway, I guess I'm ending early. Any other questions? I That's enough depressing news for one night.
I'm not suggesting that, though.
Okay. No, no. I know the county prides itself on 0% property tax increases. We've been doing it for 3 years. All righty. Thank you.
Mark? I was going to ask this. On property tax increases, which we've not done, the only way revenues go up is through new building and annexation, correct? It's really
that's how it goes up now, yes.
It's the only way we can get more revenue for property taxes.
Right.
Annexation. And so we've got 3 years. I realize there have been some defaults on property taxes. But about how much increase a year does it amount to?
It's been running between 3 and 5% actual collections. But your point is well taken. We had over 100,000 in uncollected property. It's close to 100,000 uncollected property tax at the end of last year. So, you know, I have to kind of predict when they're going to pay. Load something in there. We're pretty close on the budget so far in our revenue graphs, within $8,000 through August.
How long does that get to go on before we start having the sheriff?
I think it's 3 years. 3 years.
If you don't pay your taxes, what some people do is that they go 3 years in arrears, and then when that fourth year rolls on, they pay the oldest year, so they stay 3 years. So they kind of keep a rolling 3 years. Not everyone. But
there's some sort of huge penalty for that?
Yeah, there's penalties, interest. There's interest.
The county keeps the interest, by the way.
If they go past the 3 years, then they auction your home. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't get any of that interest.
So you've got a year to come back after that to reclaim it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no proposed headcount increases, just hanging in there, what we've got. Thank you.
Any more questions for Mark or anything? We're ahead of schedule, so we've got some time.
Who else is thinking about we're going to have to do property taxes? We don't have a single year we don't vote in school levy taxes. Everybody votes for those, so
not everybody.
They pass, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not everybody.
It's odd. I mean, no one majority rules. Keep it right. Yeah. It's odd, though, is that for some reason it always gets described improperly.
As a 1% increase.
And for some reason, property tax just like grabs people's attention. It's always like a big headline, a big deal. And then when you ever sit down to explain to people of what that means in terms of revenue back to the city of Ferndale, I mean, the 1%, 21, and look at our budget, 1%, 21,000, you know, it's really, in terms of the city, what they get is minuscule, but you get lumped into, oh, this is terrible, and you're going to increase my whole bill by 1%. That's not true at all. But property tax is, like, really emotional.
Well, if they're so concerned about losing teachers, how do they feel about we've lost two cops since I left the last time? And all the other things that we were just talking to Janice about, the street funding, and, again, we don't have it in there. And what Mel was saying about Main Street's going to fail if we don't start getting pouring tar in there, and I don't think we have a choice this year. I don't like it. I started a fixed income 3 days ago. And
what are you doing?
I don't like it.
Here we go. Here's the refrain.
Don't you have a cola?
And I'm not 61, so I can't apply for that.
You should make a card so you can hold it up on every discussion of fixed income here. Where was it? Someone said, there's not too many people. You guys are getting a low percentage of actual working council members.
The working man just walked in.
That's it. That's what I say.
John works.
Just on Sunday.
Yeah.
One day a week.
Yeah. He only works, what, 2 hours a week?
2 hours.
Yeah.
I just teach school. And I wanted, you know, I had 3 months off and, you know, all of these vacations. Yeah, it was just an incredibly simple job to do, according to some.
Talked to my wife, who's looking at, he was 28 as a small.
morning, and they said they're going to add two more. 30 kindergartners?
To make a long story short, Brent, we, on this first page, if we just do that, we're already 75 grand in the hole.
Oh, that all?
Yeah. So we were discussing, perhaps we might have to look at property taxes.
Now, Mark it did say something, is that this, you know, and so, and I don't want to discount the fact of the budget because there's some bad things here, but this is about what we start with every year, that figure, but it does grab your attention, and then we start massaging, and certainly 4% across the board, probably not going to happen. This may be the time, one of my objectives probably won't happen, but certainly a great goal is to have a union contract that says we have the ability to adjust medical provider yearly rather than by contract, because that's, you know, last year would have saved us a ton of money. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not that much this year, but it still would be nice to have able to adjust. It's interesting, both of those have kind of different adjustments, cause, so they're both adjusting backwards, too.
Yeah. What are you looking at? Well, you could do that based on historically, because I know we got whacked 15 to 20% a year. So you could go back and look at what you were backwards, then project that forwards for the 3-year or whatever contract.
Yeah, and that's an interesting discussion because, you know, I certainly I'm not going to do the union negotiation right here, but it was before, you know, it's kind of been a progression of, well, nobody wants to do that. We're not going to do anything on medical because we don't do that. Then it was like, okay, just management had a percentage. Then we got to the union. And it was never a percentage, it was a flat rate. His percentage is scared the heck out. It's like, well, it scares us just as much. And now you can see, and we got some statistic information, you go, yeah, of course you were freaked out about percentage. And the city deals with percentage, and we're hit, which kind of goes to the argument of it should be a yearly negotiation because that's what your bill comes back. Mm-hmm. And if you have to come in with a bargaining unit open back up, you should be able to. Because it's a yearly budget problem.
I supported not increasing the tax rate the last 3 years, as most of the council members have. I'm not going to commit at this point, but as I watch other things happen, and I've said this before, even Tim Eyman, the most conservative tax guy in the state of Washington, recognized when he wrote the bill. He's the one that wrote the bill that changed it from a 6% increase to a 1% increase, recognized that there was a need for a minor increase on an annual basis, and set that in his initiative at 1%. Granted, the county makes up the 1% by keeping the interest on the money that's owed to us by the taxpayers, and the interest on the flood fund that goes in their general fund. I mean, you can go on and on and on. You know, we don't have some of those opportunities. As distasteful as a property tax increase is, it amounts to about 0.1% to the property owner. It's very minuscule, 10, 12 bucks on the total tax bill for the year, dollar a month on the average. I think we have to set a course that says, we would like to have 19 police officers, the 20 police officers, because we're going backwards in that area. I agree with Keith, you know. You increase the number of school district staff with not even thinking about it and voting yes on a levy, and we're reducing the number of police officers that 20,000 is not going to pay the price of a police officer, but it's at least a step in the right direction. So when that comes, I'll decide at that point. But right now I'm leaning towards saying we got to have a little bit. We don't have to take the whole bank capacity, but we at least could take the 1%.
And the fact is, it's not just the police officers. It's like our wastewater treatment guys, our treatment plant operators are killing themselves the number of hours that they're working.
Overtime, I think that broken out.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's ridiculous. The poor guys can't even hardly have a day off. And we've been arguing for 5 years I've been up here about the fourth treatment plant operator just so we can rotate some of the guys through on a day off. So it's not just the police officers, it's everything else.
The thing about overtime is there's a balance between all of the industries will tell you that overtime is cheaper than hiring new employees because of the benefit factor. And up to a point, once you hit a certain level, of course, when you start working 8 people 80 hours a week, it takes its toll not on the productivity, but on the cost side. I'm not as concerned about the overtime as I am about the amount of hours we're asking these guys to work, come out middle of the night, and all that kind of stuff to cover some of the issues that we have. I don't know what they all are. I'm sure there's, it's there.
Yeah. My only thing would be is if we go for a tax increase, I think we have to do a really good job of telling where that money's going.
Oh, I agree.
Because the bloggers and the things are all going to go to whoever gets a raise. If whether it's union, the staff, or whoever, it's going to be, oh, we're raising property taxes to pay this person's, raise or this group's raise and stuff versus another police officer or, whatever it is. I think we have to do like what we do with the TBD is say, if we get this, this is where that money is going, and then make sure that we do that.
Well, we're still, again, so we're early in the process. You won't see a proposal for a property tax up, down, or indifferent until later in the process. We'll get through, hopefully we'll be able to get through negotiations. This is, this is our first work session of many, and so we'll be coming back with more information and going into more detail. But, yeah, certainly we have no intention of bringing it to your vote tonight or next meeting. It's down the line. So you'll go through a process before you get to that decision.
Yeah, well, obviously we need to make sure that we how we sell it.
No, you're correct.
Yeah.
When are the negotiations going to be up?
Love that.
Oh, we usually get them done before the end of the year.
By law.
When does it start? Okay. Well, you look in the last, traditionally it's been different. I mean, with police, it was John was there. We were over in a day, 2 hours.
Yeah.
Who's up this year?
The Teamsters.
Teamsters
both bigger. Units of the Teamsters, and if you remember, the Machinists, which is just our smallest group with the planners, they opted for a 1-year contract last year, so they're up again. So it's that small group, and then the bigger group is the two Teamster units.
So basically, everybody but the police officers.
Yeah, pretty much.
Thank you. I'm not advocating a position on this, but just to have some numbers. Your assumptions for the budget, you assumed a 4% wage increase or 3%. What was the number again?
4% overall cost.
Right. And if it was zero, hypothetically, approximately dollars to the city is that 4%.
It being the 2012. I'm sorry, what is the question?
He's looking, if instead of a 4, what is that 4 equal in terms of total
dollars? Total dollars to the city. Thank you.
Because it's pretty easy to look at this thing and kind of see where we're upside down.
Yeah. Let's just look at the 2012 column. I'm going to take that times 0.04. Total expenditures 8,191,874. So it's like, that's a little off. Well, that's $300,000, you take out the interfund loans, which is what we should do, because they come and go. Still some significant, $250,000, $300,000.
So figure, easy figures is $300,000. Your question was,
so
zero would mean $300,000. That's not in there.
Okay.
Some things are not repeating next year, as you can see on page 3. But 250 is 300. I mean, I'm not picking on the police department. Police department by themselves, 2.5 million.
fire district, 1.1 million.
But we have to pay. We've contracted with them for a 1.5% raise.
So you're right. You're right. This year, 2013, police officers, 1.5.
I guess perhaps I was more interested in those where we may or may not be giving raises this year because of contracts.
You got to remember the 4% is not a marked proposal for salary.
I know.
That includes medical and the whole benefit.
Office supplies and really everything. You
know. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's 4% kind of.
Yeah, he's just taking a. In the planning department or the parks department, whatever the number is, he's just for budget.
I'm just thinking out loud about the mayor's job in negotiating with the unions, and they're going to come and say 4%, and Gary will say 1%, you know, whatever the routine is. And I don't mean that in a disparaging way. The negotiation is that he would need to know, okay, for each percent that I agree to, it represents a certain amount to the budget. And
yeah,
I'd be curious to know.
Keep your detailed questions coming. I can at least spend a few minutes bringing out a correct answer, giving it back to you, copying all the other council members.
Okay, email them, or if you have, I know Mark loves doing budget classes. Last time he had, he loved doing that.
That's right.
He likes to get questions. Obviously, this is the first of many discussions.
About gas tax, what was that proposal? What would that bring in?
Oh,
the three-year-old gas tax.
The border, the penny border gas tax. 100 to 150. Because Blaine gets X dollars, which is kind of factored in. But that's a vote of the people, and I'd propose that we the first 50,000 gallons per month be exempt, so the little guys wouldn't get killed. There'd not be somebody that has a large volume of gas.
What little guys get killed?
Shell and all these gas stations in town. They hate the penny gas tax proposal.
This is the same group that got the finger pointed at them by the Attorney General's office that they enjoy a higher profit margin anywhere in the state is Whatcom County.
Well, that's not what we heard.
Yeah, the business owners.
Their situation was the only profit they make is on Twinkies and hot dogs.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for Twinkies and hot dogs, they'd
penny would be uncompetitive.
That's why they have big houses on the hill. Okay.
Where's our legal services in all of this?
It would be row 63. On page 3, row 63.
Legal services, there you go.
Yeah. We're going to hit $100,000 this year. And I'm thinking, well, next year we probably won't have this and that. Yeah, we probably will. So I put it on $100,000. So, we won't have the growth hearing management group, GMA. We won't have this. We won't have all of them. But somebody can tell me.
There was a whispered little bit of conversation at around a couple of committee tables in the not too distant past about our current city attorney's contract coming up for renewal or denial. And there was some interest in partnering with another city such as Blaine or Linden to share the services of legal counsel. And was there any realistic thing about that, or was that just all smoke and mirrors?
Well, it's certainly even the firm we use now isn't exclusively Ferndale. So, in terms of sharing, I think Angry Hotel represents Oak Harbor, Skagit Valley Transit,
Whatcom Transit,
City of Ferndale. Well, I don't know. It's
quite a few.
Bob just wrote, you're
Carmichael.
Secret twin. he's just a firm contract there.
Yeah.
I guess you could find a firm that, because you have to have kind of expertise with cities. There's other firms. We talked about that for IT, where we looked at, in terms of computer repairs. Well, it's still cheaper to farm it out than to have a city employee doing that.
That's why he hires Sam. That's why he hires Sam.
Correct. Actually,
he's doing a lot.
Sam does way more IT work than we anticipated. Yeah. He's right up there in the geek squad classification.
What if, going back to the attorney, would it
Jimmy
be
Neutron.
You want the button?
Would it be worthwhile to do like an RFQ type of thing for legal services to see who's out there that can do city stuff, or is it? I know there's been some, you know, discussion about, you know, some of the councils not too happy with our current stuff.
Yeah, the issue is there's just that there's only one other in Whatcom County, one other a law firm that specializes in municipal law. I know there's one firm in Skagit County. I mean, it could certainly be, you know, we could certainly do it. It's a lot of times it's not even so much the hourly rate, because I believe we get a discounted rate, but it's just the volume of work. As Mark said, it's not always one type of thing every year. They get different issues, reviewing ordinances, whatever it might be. But it certainly could be.
Some of us would argue it's probably the quality of work.
Well, it's not always even our local firm. I mean, for several cases, that, you know, Association watches Washington Cities. Bring it up. We had an insurance quote that was considerably less for total insurance, but then when you started researching their legal part of it, and you didn't get a very good response back, you know, for their health insurance. It was considerable, but AWC is health insurance, you know, and legal, and then, you know, that's a tricky one. But you are correct, is that's a decision you want to just make on the snap, is, you know, if you want to have the right kind of representation. John and Lloyd.
Is the choice of legal services the in the domain of the mayor or the council? I don't really know.
What's that?
Who makes the decision on legal firms for the city? The mayor or council? Or
when we hire them?
Yeah.
So it's senior staff. Yeah, so. Again, you guys approved the contract in terms of where I'm on.
Thank you.
Lloyd?
That's all.
Government, general government insurance, you see, that's
third of
$1 million a year. So is that a sole source contract? I mean, where does that come from? Is there... That is
they
AWC.
Our risk insurance.
Okay. Then along, they also have, we bundled with them, with our health insurance also, and risk.
Yeah, AWC provides multiple services, very, very many services. We take advantage of two primary ones.
Is there any competition to that?
We looked into one firm. So, yes, there's some competition, but it comes down to quality of services, the types of services they'll provide, versus what we're getting now.
Okay.
Yeah, we this is the first year we kind of shopped.
Yeah,
I'm interested.
Because it seemed to have kind of.
I'm interested to see where AWC comes back. We traditionally do shop. We haven't done legal for a while, so it might be a good chance to at least to show you what's out there. We need to let Sam needs to go do some other work. So I'm going to adjourn this meeting. We can still continue. To
I'll please
chief to step to the microphone and lead us in the pledge to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Our clerk will now take the roll call.
Councilmember Hanson.
Here.
Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Ingram.
Here.
Councilmember Muffler.
Here.
Councilmember Zimmerman.
Here.
Councilmember Goodrich.
Here.
Councilperson Watson has been asked to excuse.
So moved. Second.
Okay, moved and second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Thank you, Council. Next up is the public comment period. This is the period where members of the audience can come speak to the Council on anything that's not on the next agenda. We do a little bit different here. This is your time to speak on anything that's not on the agenda. When the agenda item comes up, if you want to speak on agenda item, raise your hand, raise your voice. We want to hear from our citizens, so Ferndale is a little more open where we let people talk when they want to talk. But this is sort of the time where you can talk about anything that's not on tonight's agenda, anything you'd like to address the council. Anyone would like to come forward? Okay, I'm not seeing anybody make a motion, so you're not coming forward. So
Okay. We'll move on. Okay, next up is the consent agenda, and I
move to accept the consent agenda.
I have some differences in consent agenda. Councilperson Mutchler and Zimmerman. So, Councilperson Mutchler first.
Yeah, I'd like to pull from the consent to discuss the Pioneer Terrace Preliminary Plat extension.
Okay, so we'll pull Pioneer Terrace Preliminary Plat. Let's put that
By G because it's a similar concern.
Okay,
together.
So Pioneer Terrace will go G2. Okay, and Councilperson Zimmerman.
That was my concern also.
Okay, so we're going to pull Pioneer Terrace. Any other corrections or additions to consent? I saw a motion to approve. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded. All in favor other than G2, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Okay, so next up is the scope officer introductions, and our esteemed police chief will address the council. Welcome, Chief Nick.
Thank you very much. Good evening, Council. I have been cautioned by the clerk to be brief. I know your agenda is full. It is always my pleasure to introduce new people from the police department to you. A community is defined by those who volunteer on its behalf. Could not be truer in the case of the police department. Scope began in June of 1999, sponsored by KeyBank, and today two of the original members continue to volunteer their time to support public safety in our community. With the addition of the three new officers that I'm going to introduce to you this evening, there will be now 10 scope officers on the force who volunteer hundreds of hours annually enforcing handicap parking restrictions, traffic control at special events, speed monitoring, house security checks, and bicycle recovery. It's only because of their unselfish commitment to their community that these tasks are accomplished at all. The new officers, I'm going to ask them to stand. The first is Don Hubbard, a retired from Intalco, Don. The next is Larry Roberts, retired longshoreman. Thank you, Larry. The next is Jeff Kalbach, retired from the construction industry. You know, today these three individuals will support this community and its goal to bring it the finest public safety services to you in a very unselfish way. They joined Tony Birdsall, Charlie Clarence Oshner, Jim Hawley, Millie Dalton, who's not here, Richard Hartley, who is, Marshall Boyd, of course, and Kurt Anderson, who could not be here. What is important that all the people that are here, with one exception, and that couldn't be avoided, bring their wives. They're such strong family units. We're so grateful to have your support, the wives, the spouses, and all the volunteering that you do. Would you please join me in welcoming these three wonderful officers? Thank you so much. Thank you, City Clerk, for doing the swearing in. And we are now going over to the new department.
Chief, so that brings, is your scope at a total of 10?
10.
10.
They shortly will have more scope officers than we have the other officers. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you all for coming. Thank you very much. Okay, capital project updates. I assume we're going to hear from Katie Ratter. Here, we'll give you a couple seconds. We'll let everybody in.
I'll hate following Chief. He's so eloquent.
Yeah. So, members of the audience, some of you came late. Ferndale does a little bit different. If at any time on any of the agenda items you have a question you'd like to speak, raise your hand, keep your hand up. Somebody will notice you and we will allow you to speak on an item. So, we do a little different at Ferndale. So, if you'd like to speak, just raise your hand and we'll find you. Okay, Katie, it's your show.
All right. So capital project updates, I'll give a brief update on Church Road. We're still talking with a couple of the property owners regarding their concerns obtaining right-of-way. I believe we were able to come to an agreement with one more property owner today. So that leaves four out of the 42. So I don't know if anybody has any questions with that. The other thing that's going on with Church Road, the city recently submitted a request for funding to the Transportation Improvement Board. I'm not sure exactly when we'll be hearing back from that, but probably a couple of November.
Councilperson Ingram?
Katie, I've been gone for a while. Before I left, I noticed this huge driveway construction project up there. Was that the one that was really steep that we were having an issue with?
No. It wasn't. Actually, one of the property owners on Church Road, he had plans to subdivide his property before we approached him to obtain right-of-way. So those improvements were done as part of the requirements for short platting that. I think he was taking the one lot and subdividing it into three.
Interesting. Okay. Yep. Thank you.
Let's see. So that's it for Church Road, unless anybody has any other questions.
Councilperson Goodrich, just a thought came to me in regards to the monies that we've asked for from the Transportation Board. Does that come with strings, like if we get it, we have so many years to use it, or we have to put matching funds with it, or is it going to cover the whole cost of the project?
No. Well, first of all, to answer your first question is yes, free money always has strings. So there are matching funds that are required through a Transportation Improvement Board grant. We do have TIB funds for the Main Street project. I'm not entirely sure what all the details are. We have requested $1.5 million. The project in total is approximately $5 million to complete. So,
point of clarification, not to disagree with your couching of it. Always when we ask for money, we're asking for our money back.
Thank you.
When you gas up the tank, when everyone else gas up the tank, that's our tax money, and it goes south to a little place called Olympia, and all we're asking for is some of it back.
Exactly.
And the sensitive subject sometimes.
Begging doesn't hurt either.
That's true.
Okay, so for Main Street, we just came off a five-week closure, and sincerely appreciate everybody's support on that. They were able to get quite a bit of work done. I don't know if you've had an opportunity to drive on Main Street. If you can avoid it, it helps to have less traffic. The less traffic there is, the more work they can get done. They got the culvert installed. You've noticed that the road is significantly wider than it was previously, so basically the old roadway has been excavated out, new gravel's been placed. So that work.
What's
that?
I won't take my wife's car down there yet.
It's actually not too bad. So what they're working on now, there is still some underground utility work to be done on Main Street. There will be crews working on the storm drain system from the west side of the creek towards the west. They'll be working on some water crossings. The sewer line up by Mountain View Meadows is yet to be done. But because the road has been widened, there's enough room to get that done safely and still have, traffic. So that's ongoing in the next several weeks. With the last bit of good weather that, September brings with it, there's going to be a lot of activity focused in on the pond. And so what the contractor's done is they've stripped the pond site of the sod and the topsoil. Topsoil's been stockpiled. There's quite a good stockpile of topsoil there that does need to be hauled off. They are working. I went down there today, and the bottom of the pond that's high, they're going to use that material to embank and berm up the pond. So in order to do that and to get the proper compaction, they have to work the ground and get it to dry out. And so they were doing that today. They'll be digging in the keyway tomorrow and starting on the pond berm probably either tomorrow or the next day. And, in fact, the contractor has requested approval to work on Saturday just to make good use of the decent weather. So Other than that, the other item of interest is I'm really always very excited to see curb go in, and so S&S Concrete will be here, I think, starting Friday. They'll use their curb machine, so what they'll do is they'll set up their string lines that the machine rides on to set grade. So probably won't see any curb go in this week, but early next week on the east end between Douglas and the culvert.
So projected first overlay?
Oh, probably mid-October. There's still quite a bit of work to be done.
Council, any questions for Katie? Councilor Zimmerman?
Yeah. Katie, this was brought to me, and I think I mentioned it briefly to you and to Greg, that topsoil that's being stockpiled that we may haul off someplace, if we can keep control of it a number of years ago, we got $500,000 credit in a in-kind contribution when we redid the ball fields from Hagen's. They stripped off the topsoil, they put it out there, and we used it as we turned dirt into gold, basically. So it's a resource that we could, if there's some place in town that we could stockpile it, we could earmark it for some kind of parks project or other thing, but we'll always need dirt someplace.
We have one complaint about where we brought the big storm line across on Douglas, that the first initial asphalt patch was sunk. But we'll have to tell that person, look, we probably don't patch it because they're working in there.
Well, we're actually looking at that. When they dug across Douglas Road and they paved that back, they did that paving right before the closure on Main Street occurred. So we were going to actually have the contractor look at extending the width of that patch. But because we were going to run, you know, there's like 20,000 cars a day going down Main Street, because we were going to detour them onto Douglas Road, we couldn't really send them all that way and not have it prepped and ready to go. So I'm actually talking to the contractor. Douglas Road's basically an old county road. There's not really any foundation to it. So it's like, where do you stop? So we were looking at that patch, and I'm trying to get a price from the contractor to dig out Douglas about 125 feet to the east of the patch and then another 75 feet to the west to try to find some decent ground to tie into with all the heavy trucks and equipment
probably
and that sort of thing.
Probably wouldn't do that until because that's one of the detour routes. Probably wouldn't do that until Maine is done.
We could probably do it now. You know, they would organize it if it worked out, it was financially feasible. They'd organize it at a time that they were paving somewhere else. So, but yeah, that road's not in the best shape.
Okay, thanks.
So we are looking into that.
Katie?
Yep.
The my observation of what the contractor has done, I don't know whether they were required to by the contractor or they've done some volunteer. They were out with a watering truck all weekend long, even yesterday. And they have kept that nicely watered. It doesn't dust up a lot. You know, in between the watering, it'll dry out, get some dust. But compared to some other projects, this one's been wonderful in terms of dust.
They're required to by contract, and then the city also pays per 1,000 gallons for water that's placed. But I agree, as far as contractors go, they've been pretty decent. If you know it looks like it's getting dusty, they address it readily, and so I appreciate that. I'll be sure to pass that along because they are pretty conscientious about that.
Very good.
Is that it? Okay.
That's okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You wanted. Police.
Quick police there. If you've driven by, it's looking greener and greener all the time. The grass sod's all down. Today they're placing, in fact, by the end of today they should have most of it done. They'll finish it tomorrow. All of the other plants around the perimeter of the building and in the parking areas. The gates are scheduled to go in Thursday, so we're quickly winding down, probably another week or two, and the fencing contractor and the landscape contractor will be off-site, and all we'll be left with are the minor punch item issues both inside the building and out.
When is permanent signing?
Working on that right now. The permanent sign out at the road. I asked a local contractor to give some quotes on putting the sign out there. So once those are ready, we'll.
And there will be this. There will be a sign on the building on the curb. Or
yeah, there's going to be a sign, a kind of a monument sign, if you will, out by the street near the bus stop. In fact, if you look out there, there's a light coming out of the grass that will eventually shine up on this sign. So there's one out at the street, and then up on the building itself on the curb portion, there's some additional signage that goes on there as well. And we're also exploring about the possibility of taking the lettering from the old building that said Ferndale Police Department and putting it on one of the sides of the police.
Kind you have
of
to disinfect it first, wouldn't you?
Right, definitely. It's kind of an homage to what was versus what is. So we're going to see what kind of shape those letters are in and from a font standpoint, whether you'll be able to see them far enough away.
And the open house to the public is still slated?
Still slated for the 27th.
No, that's the private one.
No, that's the public one.
Public one's 29th.
Saturday, I think it's over
Saturday.
It's over a few different days for different groups.
Yeah, to the public, it's the 29th. It's the Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday. That's the.
Am I incorrect on that?
Yeah, the 27th is the official ribbon cutting with.
That's by invitation only.
Yeah, from our attorney general will be there, and then there's other activities planned, but the major public event is for the 29th on Saturday.
Okay, Mr. Goodrich.
What's happening with Lego? That's one of the resident concerns. And
I think what we'll probably end up doing is seeing what sort of cash is left over once everything is done at the station, and then we'll have that discussion as far as what we could possibly do. Public Works has preliminarily looked at a couple of options for Lego's sidewalk. So depending on, first of all, how many pennies we have left in the piggy bank, and what the options are, we'll be able to address the sidewalk issue.
Well, how do we get away with not doing it where we require contractors to do it just because we don't have...
We don't have to follow our own rules.
Yeah.
We've talked all along about...
I know that's
going to
be a big public thing. If we just say, hey, I'm sorry, we ran out of money and we're not going to do it, it's not going to go well with the public.
Issue may be the extent of the Lego sidewalk project more than whether we do it or not. I believe we'll have funds in there depending on what your desires are for any excess funds, but there should be some funds left over, and from what I've preliminarily heard for the options, what I think we'll have left over will certainly fit into the budget. But that'll be something for all of you to determine.
TBD. Any questions for this project? Okay, ordinance, 2012 monthly budget amendment.
Council, if you look at page 56 of your handout tonight, your council packet, budget amendments here, it impacts three different funds, only three funds. We reviewed this in detail with the Finance Committee. Yeah, the current expense fund, storm fund, and storm regional pond fund. You see the detail there on the current expense fund, both revenues and expenditures. We got some more grant money from the U.S. Department of Energy. That is finished now. We had to pay a class action settlement, AT&T Singular Wireless, where they charge Ferndale customers for data services, charge utility tax on data services. They collected, they paid the city of Ferndale in the past. Ended up being a problem, so the customers complained. AT&T refunded the customers the utility tax on the data services, and then they came after us. We're named in a lawsuit. We have settled for $12,840. The original claim was $18,000 or more. Recognizing on the storm fund, the last payment on the stormwater capacity grant, $54,910 on revenue. That includes some salary for the stormwater manager. Also, recognizing the Public Works Trust Fund loan, which we split between the storm fund and the regional pond construction fund. So any questions on page 56? I'd be happy to try to answer.
Mr. Metzler?
I move the adoption of Agenda Bill 12-09-002, the budget amendment.
I'll second that.
Okay, moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Okay, moving on, ordinance planning commission residency requirement.
No.
Oh, excuse me, yeah. Yeah, financial management policies. I'm trying to jump ahead here. Resolution, city financial management policies revisions.
It's an update. We haven't touched these since 2005, 2006. Just a couple of changes and the gist of the changes is outlined in page 58 of your packet. Generally, we're proposing to increase the target reserve balance for the general fund by 2018 if there's at least some new major retail. So it's kind of an if statement. And then also set the policy on debt service funds where for all debt service funds we have a one-year debt service payment reserve as a target, as a goal. And then that second item is just correcting the basis of accounting with the city from GAAP to other comprehensive basis of accounting. So the changes in the attachments here, they are in large font. You can see what's crossed out, what's been added. So those are the basic changes. You see some detail on page 65 and 66. Again, we went through some detail with the Finance Committee. The resolution.
Discussion on this resolution. Councilperson Zimmerman.
What we kind of brought up is this makes us look great on paper for the people that are loaning us money. So it's a housekeeping thing.
It is kind of a housekeeping thing.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with it at all.
And a great solid move. It's a great solid move. We make a statement that when we have money, we're going to use it wisely. So Councilperson Mutchler, then Hansen.
Yeah, I'm just going to make a motion that we adopt the updating by our treasurer, Agenda Bill 12-09-003, and I like this a lot in the Finance Committee and just think this is good conservative financial practices.
Second. So we
second.
Okay, now we can continue discussing. Councilperson Hansen?
No, I was going to put the motion on the floor.
Okay, discussion on the resolution? Seeing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Okay, now we're on resolution. Planning Commission residency requirements.
Good evening, Council. Good evening, Mr. Mayor.
Welcome up.
Thank you. City Clerk Sam Taylor did a lot of work putting this together and has communicated to me what happened at the committee meeting. Following Council's direction at the last meeting, staff has developed an ordinance, which you can see beginning on page 96 in the Finance Committee. The committee members recommended that in section 2.18.010, that there be changes where it would alter the manner slightly in which the mayor would present a potential planning commissioner to council. So you have before you the first ordinance, which was proposed by staff on page 96.
That's 015, by the way.
015, okay. Got it, what he said. So if you have any questions, then I will be happy to attempt to answer. Or the clerk will do a better job.
That was impressive. Councilperson Hanson.
Well, I would move to accept the residency requirement, the amended residency requirement,
committee? One from committee.
And I second.
Further discussion? Councilperson Metzler?
Yeah, I like this. I think it's good to have some kind of clarity in our municipal code. As council knows from our last meeting, I had preferred a little broader, what's the phrase, exception if the mayor feels he's having difficulty. And I'd like to at least bring that subject up for a moment to see if there's any reconsideration of that. We've added here the possibility of one or two members being from the urban growth area. Although that's a large geographic area, it's not a large population area. That's about 800 residents added from our core, which is 12,000 of 12,000 in the city. It adds up 800 people, and that may or may not make a difference. I wanted to check again with council to see if there might be inclination or interest to adopting it the way it is, but rather than saying Ferndale Urban Growth Area, to consider the school district as our boundaries. That would be my preference, but I don't know if there'd be interest in council in making that bigger. That puts up to 33,000 residents.
So this is a discussion
so
or an
amendment? I would make a motion to see if there's interest in doing that, to amend the main motion by changing from urban growth area to the Ferndale School District.
Okay, so you're making an amendment to the motion.
Yeah.
Do I have a second for that, to further discussion?
I'll discuss it, yeah.
So you're seconding
I'll second it? For discussion.
Okay, so second by Councilperson Zimmerman. Okay, discussion on the amendment only. Councilperson Zimmerman, then Goodrich.
Well, I was inclined to say, you know, the larger pool. This is a philosophy of inclusiveness. But listen to our former mayor, Yvonne Goldsmith, and what she had to say. And from the 20 years I've been here, we've doubled in size. And if we can't find, you know, 6-7 good people to be on the Planning Commission, we're doing something wrong. So I think we should be able to handle that with no problem.
So you're seconding
the
amendment.
Against the
but not supporting
speaking against
it. Oh, okay.
The amendment.
Just to get it.
Got it.
Okay, great. Just clarifying. Councilperson Goodrich?
I can't support it. At first I thought it was a good idea, but then the more I kind of think about it, those people really have no interest in the city. They're not going to become part of the citizens of Ferndale. If you're outside the urban growth, you don't really have an interest in the city. I know, they're considered Ferndale people. They do the schools. But as far as decisions are associated with the city, I can't see any reason to, support that.
Councilperson Mutchler?
Yeah, I understand that, and I appreciate that. My thinking is that if such a person would have interest, he might be a business owner in Ferndale. He might be a property owner in Ferndale. He might be a developer in Ferndale. I would only support a person that was outside the city limits if they had a business interest of some kind. But go ahead, sir.
Okay. Further discussion from council? Okay, seeing none, voting on the amendment. Understands. I don't think we have to repeat it. It's pretty simple. In favor of the amendment, all signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Motion fails 5-1. Okay. On the amendment, I think everyone's understanding that. On the main motion. Any question there? Councilperson Olson and then Goodrich.
I'm kind of confused here. So the one that you proposed is
page 100.
Must be a member of the community. Only if the mayor is having trouble finding someone. It doesn't vet through the council. The mayor has the final say. The council does not.
Okay.
Essentially,
the
council has the final say because of
approval,
but only is on the recommendation of the mayor.
As I stated when we discussed this, I'm not going to support that. Nothing against you. As I said before, it was who might replace you. And so for that reason, I'm not going to support it.
Councilperson Goodrich?
My question was clarified. I was just wondering which one we were voting on, 97 or 100.
Okay. Further further discussion by council? Okay, to the all signify approval by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries 4-2. Councilman Zimmerman and Olson voting no. Okay, and then we'll keep Yori back up there. Resolution, Molloy Village preliminary plat extension.
This and the next item are both could be looked at as potentially positive signs as far as development activity in Ferndale. Over the last 4 years, since about mid-2008, we've seen plats dying off and becoming vacant. In this case, we have the Molloy Village Planned Unit Development, which is one of our larger residential subdivisions of 154 units. It was given approval, preliminary plat approval, in 2004, and since that time, three of the seven plats have been completed or almost completed. Due to a variety of factors, the seven-year period on the preliminary plat would have expired late last year. Neither the city nor the proponents recognized that at the time. We've discussed with the city attorney, and it was a true oversight on both sides. Now the owners, who are the same owners, the same applicants that originally proposed this in 2004, are requesting a plat extension or preliminary plat extension. Staff has recommended approval of that based in part on the fact that the infrastructure is in for the most part, that these are the same owners and that they have continued to build. At the committee, there was a mention that while there was general support for it, the stormwater vault, which if you've been in around the area, is a very large structure, that there was some interest in requiring that the property owners, that the applicants, actually construct some screening in front of it in order to kind of mitigate the appearance of its large bulk. We've informed the property owners, and they are here, at least one of them. Mr. Michael Carey is here to discuss his perspective if you would like to hear that. Again, staff does recommend approval of the extension.
So you would like to hear? Council would be okay to hear from Mr. Carey? I'm getting approval, so Mr. Carey, the microphone is yours.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, staff. I have, if you haven't been out there, it's just a map. And what it shows on the top, the top tie line is actually where we have stopped out of the 154 lots. And to the right of that, the highlighted part is the retention vault. The retention vault is 14 feet deep. It's over 500 foot long. It goes from 14 foot wide on the southern end, and then it widens out to 24 feet. It actually runs right along Burlington Northern Railroad. And as you can see there are houses where we dug it out, and we're backfilling it now as we're using the spoils, and then we're going to do engineered foundations when we get to that point. So the back of the retention vault that currently has a 6-foot chain link fence on it, some of it is daylit 5 foot of concrete, and on the end towards the Samson rope, it's 14 feet. But we have the alder trees growing down there. So as we're going, we're backfilling it as we're doing it. We currently have 11 homes under construction. We're backfilling the last two that we have services in the ground for. So once we're done with that, we're going to hydro seed it and then put it to bed. Every year, about the end of September, early October, I go in and I mow the trees because the alder trees are like weeds. And if I don't, I'm logging again. And I don't want to have to go get another permit from you guys to re-log it. So I go in every year to mow it. So if you've been there where the asphalt ends, there's a sewer lift station all the way down at the end about where the M is in the Methuen in the lower right-hand corner. There's a sewer lift station that goes from here and then it pumps up to Molloy. So what I'll do is I'll go down there and I will mow it, and then we're soon we're going to put a chain link fence down there that me and the city staff will have a key for it. So when Public Works needs to go down there on their weekly maintenance or their checks on the pump system, they will. So I guess what I don't want to say have issues, but it's over 500 foot long. I'm going to end up putting houses there. So if we're going to require screening, the economy has really knocked us to our knees here.
You know, I would have liked to have had over 100 houses done where I only have 34 that are currently occupied and totally finished. I have 11 now. I'm up for a refinance with the bank. I'm kind of at their mercy because our bank got taken, you know, it was Horizon, got taken by the FDIC. I'm at the mercy of a new company out of God knows where, and there's no relationships. So I don't have the money for screening. If you're going to require me to put plants there, I don't have the money for it. I have enough money to finish what we currently have and to make my interest payments until the next year or so.
Councilperson Messler?
Is it Mr. Carey?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you for being here. I had not been that far down into development before until this last week, and it's beautiful.
Thank
you. I mean, what you've done, your work is great. I've been in the clubhouse once for a private party, and it's a great development. My concern, you sort of get the brunt of my personal concern about stormwater ponds in general. We had a cement pond here on Vista, and before I got on council, I thought, how in the world did the city allow this thing to come in? It's just this ugly cement pond. What I didn't realize at the time was that they did require a screening for that, and that screening has been put in, and I think it makes all the difference in the world. I went down and looked at it, took some pictures. Your stormwater pond has already been tagged and graffitied a little bit.
It was in 2005, and then we've actually had...
That's not your fault.
No.
But what I hear you saying is that you're going to continue to backfill until that wall is no longer visible. It will only be a
It will be in the backyards of those houses. And looks like 10 houses that are along it.
So where's the road exactly? Here's the retention pond. There's going to be a road.
You see the dots?
The
tree line streets,
gotcha.
The dots in the front. So the road runs right down between the dots and the trees.
So in a sense, you're assuring us it is going to eventually be screened by the backfill. And all
well, it'll be the house will be, they'll be in the backyard of the house.
Okay, the so the houses will screen it. Then,
yes, sir.
In a sense, okay.
Yes.
Well, that would be satisfactory to me. I brought this up to council. Is I'd like to see a council. What I'm noticing that there are two types of ponds. There's natural ponds. They dig a hole, and it's all natural material except for the fence. And then there are these concrete ones. And I'm just curious if someone could ask you how we.
Well, in this case here, we have a 40-acre site.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to take into consideration all 40 acres,
yeah.
Not just the 28. Well, we got 28 that's open space, and we're only using 14 acres. You know. So, and then we're getting water off of Malloy.
Right. So it's a volume.
Yes.
So
it is.
You've constructed with cement because it has to have so much volume.
Well, if not, it would be two-thirds of the site would be in one of those nice little ponds
exactly.
That we see all over town.
So what I want to suggest to council is it seems like a developer like yourself is making a decision between a concrete structure which holds more because you can go up with walls and a natural pond like we see in the community, which although not the most beautiful things in the world, I think is more acceptable than a graffiti magnet like concrete. And so I'm hoping maybe to see council direction in the future where we're requiring, whether it's homes or whatever, to screen it. But the fact that you have homes going in there would satisfy my concerns. That means these homeowners got to kind of keep an eye on their...
Well, and then what we'll do is, where we don't have the slats now, because it's on one end it's 14 feet plus the six, so it was a pain to put the fence up when we had to put that up as a requirement so we could start to get permits in phase number two.
Yeah.
And it was dangerous, and we had to have a forklift in there, and so we had to do it in summer before water, because it always has water in it.
What you're doing is you're accomplishing what I'm hoping for.
Okay.
If that road continues through to the south, someday it might, whatever that's called, the main road that comes down and goes right along
like
the pond.
Calico Loop, yeah.
That passengers and cars aren't seeing a graffiti wall. That's what I'm looking
no,
for.
No, when we get to the point, I think we've already had the court system brought all those young gentlemen and girls down and asked, and they've been doing a lot of painting. But the Blue Water Whale and Buzz Cut, I would love to find out who those two knuckleheads are, they've continued to come back.
Right. Well, in light of your explanation, I'd like to make a motion for the approval of the extension of this project.
I'll second that.
Okay, further discussion, Councilperson Hansen?
Well, the only thing I was going to say is that in general with plats that are now seeking extensions, I think it's unfair to the contractor to now start applying new rules. When we looked at this, things haven't changed in the last 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years since these things were, in this case, 7 years, these were approved. They were approved the way they were designed for a reason, and I don't think those reasons have changed. And it's not fair because based on our approval and what we say they had to do 7 years ago, they went out and sought funding. And in this case, it's not a dormant plat that's been sitting there as open ground. Right. They've got infrastructure already in. To now require new requirements, if we want to require storm ponds to be screened and have fences and such a thing, we need to develop an ordinance so that the planning staff, when the applicants come in for brand new plats, can say, our council has decided that from this point forward, we're going to require screens. I think it's unfair for us to require screening or fences or those kinds of things on plats that have already been approved. The bigger question is, are they making progress towards completion? These folks are making progress towards completion. I see no reason not to approve an extension.
I appreciate your comments, and it should be noted that certainly Mr. Carey can't be compared about the frustration of another one. But the real fact is that even you as a council and our planning staff has gotten the education. I don't think any one of us visualized when it came through what was going to happen on Vista until it happened. And then we all looked and went, oh, my gosh, that isn't really what we're looking for. And then on Vista, because the process went so slow, that we looked at just an ugly concrete vault without any screening for quite a while. So certainly as people I don't know if we could do an ordinance because each project is going to be different, but I think planning certainly knows the intent of council, and if the project on Vista were to come in today, those regulations would be different. I know it drives me crazy that we didn't require screening on at least all three sides. You know, the one side just drives me crazy between the driveway, but certainly, yeah, I appreciate your comments. Councilor Zimmerman and then Mutchler.
Mr. Carey, I've walked some of your property. I think you've done a great job.
Thank you.
My experience with this whole section of property goes back to the Planning Commission back in 1996. And I think you've done
it came before you guys two times before we brought it.
Yeah.
Forward.
I mean, and there was a group before you, I believe, that had it, and then it went down and came back. But I think you're doing a good job. And your example of, like Mel said, you're doing it. You're making it happen.
We're trying, and we keep getting kicked down, but we keep getting back up.
And you increase our tax base, and you add our fees and everything like that. And I'm of the opinion that if we want this to make this look beautiful or something like this, beyond what it is, I mean, we're taxing people for stormwater. You're taking care of some stormwater issues that we got on our roads that, the planting and make it look, I say, you got the equipment, you got the people to berm it in and give enough time. It's not a big amount of money for us at some point in time. This, of course, we never have enough money.
Right.
But it seems like it could be. My thing is, as you drive by the freeway, how does it look? And that kind of stuff.
Well, you can't see it from the freeway, thank goodness, because it's so far off from the railroad.
Yeah.
And the blackberries have taken over, so the taggers are all gone.
Exactly. It's all.
But they can get into the throat is where we see the blue water whale and the rest of that stuff as they crawl underneath the fence there. And they did that a year ago, and it's like, I'm going to stop painting it.
Yeah.
Because they're just going to keep coming back.
My heart goes out to you.
Thank you.
The Horizon deal and the banking and everything else. I mean, it's not easy. And, again, I don't like to see this group making it harder yourself, so I support what you're doing.
Thank
good
you.
Job.
Councilperson Metzler?
Yeah, I appreciate both the comments of Councilmember Hanser and the mayor. Mel, I don't want to feel like we're piling on anybody, but I appreciate what Gary, the mayor, is sharing, because I don't think we all knew what these ponds were going to look like when we started. We were required to do this. We have to mitigate the stormwater, and I think the lesson on Vista was helpful. I'd like to see if there could be a consensus in council from this experience that again, I don't know why, but, again, there are the natural ponds, like I have by my house. It's not the prettiest thing, but at least it's just a hole. And then we have these concrete things. And I would think a lesson to be learned is that when we have a developer put in a concrete one, that's the one that needs to be shielded somehow. And I'd like to see if perhaps council could direct that to the Planning Commission to consider adding that. Just as we learned from this one here, we want this to be a beautiful city. And I don't think it's a major expense. To find a way to shield those.
Well, certainly it'd be easier to budget in way before.
Yeah.
Than
now.
Councilperson Hanson's.
And it is all the economics. We do the concrete. The concrete is cheaper because of the area, the volume of the land.
Yeah.
And if I can get two extra lots, that's two extra tax bases for you. Yep. It all comes down to economics. And like the mayor said up front, You know, we knew we had to fence, and we knew we were going to put houses in front of it.
We have a pond next to in my development, and I've checked with the city about having just the neighbors pitching in and buying the shrubs and covered ourselves, you know, and we might do that because it's not the.
Well, you got to be careful though, because we have federal wetlands permits, and if you go in there and do that stuff, then you're putting me at a liability and a risk on a lot of that. So you got to be real careful in as the neighborhood and with your association, putting your association at risk. Because a lot of us, like I have a federal nationwide permit for that. I can't just go in and do things. I have to check because I have a federal permit. So I would just warn you on that and your neighborhood association that you should check before you do anything like that.
We shall.
Councilperson Zimmerman?
I just want to add one more thing. Is that when you engineer a big concrete vault like this, it has...
That was $900,000.
A flow control aspect built
yes,
into
it
for catastrophic flooding events.
100-year.
As opposed to the smaller ones, which are
right.
more putting it back into
right.
The
no, that was over $900,000. That's sitting on the ground, costing interest every day. So.
Everybody wants to have a pond.
How many square feet was that surface land?
I don't recall. It's huge.
I'd like to call for the question. I didn't move it. I just that says I'm ready from an individual.
It appears to be discussion has ran its course. So on the motion, so all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay, motion carries. Councilperson Mutchler.
And then I had pulled Pioneer Terrace for the same reason, and I just had a question about the Pioneer Terrace extension development. Is that a that has a pond. I saw it on the site plan. Do we know, hasn't been built yet, is that a natural pond or is that a concrete structure?
There's no pond there.
It's not a concrete. It's in ground. It's actually within a little bit of a ravine. So I don't know precisely what yours is, but it's probably more like yours than the
not a concrete thing. Okay. And that's all I wanted to know about that. So I need to make a motion then, because I pulled it, that we extend the adopt the resolution to extend the Pioneer Terrace development. Excuse me for the awkward wording there.
Second. Okay, moving second for extension.
Discussion.
Zimmerman.
Discussion. Well, I pulled it for a different reason. One, the way the zoning, I've talked to a few people who live around there, they go, what? You know, it's a small little cul-de-sac. Now we're putting 10 homes on there, but now we double it because they're duplexes. And, Tony Birdsall, who was a member for a number of years on the planning commission, said, Tony, you know what's going on with the old Pioneer? He says, no. So he was surprised that it was this level. And it's gone beyond. And
he spoke against it.
What's that?
He was in here to speak against it when we approved it.
Okay.
He now says he didn't know anything about it?
Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, it's to me, it's the issue of, the density. And if you look at number 27 on your facts, and it talks about the egress of the property and how where it's going to go.
Point of contention, though, I mean, right now this is a motion to vote on an extension
right.
of an approved plat.
It has been through the public process. SEPA's done.
Legally, this isn't the
you
time.
Can't, we can't right. send it back to.
No.
Well,
you
it,
could.
To me, it hasn't met all the.
I'm going to wait. I need clarification.
If council decided not to extend this plat, they would have until mid-spring to complete the work. If they could complete the work, they're done. They've done what they needed to do. If they were unable to complete that work and if you did not extend it, then they would be in the position of needing to reapply. We have gone over this plat with the applicants, and short of council making a different decision, all of the conditions that were in place, all of the zoning, all of that would still be able to be approved today the same way as it was back then.
Okay, so if the council votes no on this proposal that's been moved and seconded, then that could go the direction. If they approve it, the conditions of the plat are not on the table.
Precisely, exactly. The one thing is that the applicants have agreed to pay their impact fees up front to show that they have skin in the game, that they have committed to something, because up to this point, they have not yet turned dirt on the property.
Okay. So, Councilor Zimmerman?
I have a question, Yuri. Yes. Number 28, the plant shall be revised to provide public road connectivity to property abutting the easterly 80 feet of the southerly property line, as identified in assessor's parcel. It's got the number on it. And it's on Vista Drive. Insofar as the requirement may alter the configuration of the plat, all other conditions of approval shall be reviewed by staff to determine applicability of the new design and revised as appropriate.
Yes. And
how do you explain that?
This was a couple of council meetings ago. We talked about how council had, at the time of preliminary plat, added conditions after they were really allowed to. This was one of those where after this plat had been originally proposed, a piece of property directly to the south, and for those of you familiar with Vista Drive, it now has a for sale sign on it for acreage. Uh-huh. This plat, Pioneer Terrace, and the other one, which the name escapes me, came in at about the same time. When that second one came in, the council then said to these folks, hey, since that one's coming in, we should have connectivity between the two. These property owners agreed to that, kind of out of turn of the whole schedule of events. Everything was going fine, then the economy dropped out. Now we have the southern property that has, I believe, been returned to the bank. So that other subdivision is no longer on the table. So there's no connectivity, that is realistic at this time.
I saw the other. That's where the house burned down. It was there for a long, long time.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's like a page and a half.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So, any further discussion on the motion before you? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Motion carries 6-0.
Thank you, Council.
Okay. Okay. That concludes our regular agenda. For mayor reports, I have none. Council reports?
It was a good trip, but it was a bad one.
Plumbing will get you. Okay, seeing none for council reports. Department reports, finance director.
Nothing.
City administrator.
Nothing.
Planning.
Yes. On October 3rd, we've scheduled an open house to give the public the opportunity to look at our the first draft of our Parks, Recreation, and Trails Master Plan. That's October 3rd at Central Elementary. The open house will begin at 6, and we have the room till 8. Also on September the 6th, there is a walking tour in a city to the south of us that starts with a B that's promoting a 20-minute lifestyle for downtown. It basically is saying that the new conventional wisdom is that if you can live, work, play within 20 minutes of your house, that creates a vibrant community. It is a walking tour. It's Bellingham. Yeah. You are invited to attend and get to me if you would like to.
What day was it?
It's the 6th.
September 6th?
September 6th
is a walking tour?
So it's in 2 days, yes, sir.
Oh. What time was the open house?
That is 6 p.m. And we will do a pretty aggressive public outreach, and we're coordinating with the school district as well on that.
Okay, any other?
Nope.
That's it.
What time is the thing at 6?
I need to look at that again. If you're interested, then.
I would.
Clerk? Public Works? No report from police, so we'll go in on that.
No, he's partying.
Okay, pursuant to RCW 42.30.110I, we will now enter an executive session to discuss ongoing litigation with legal counsel. This session will last approximately 15 minutes. Consideration of ordinance will take place upon re-entering regular session. So we will clear the council chambers to go into an executive session, and we will thank all of you for coming. You can stay. Here, wear these glasses.
Okay, so appropriate action by council is to make a motion to repeal the ordinance.
for adopting these two ordinances? Maybe two motions?
Two motions.
Two separate motions on each order.
Okay. Councilperson Olson and Goodrich. You quoted their potential action under U.S. code. So that's not something they could do in state court, correct?
Sure.
They'd have to go to federal court for that. So this is a whole new batch of hearings and more lawyer's fees and stuff that they would incur in order to pursue that action that you talked about. So this is not just continuing. When he quotes a U.S. code, he can't bring that up in state court. That has to go to a federal court. So it's a whole new ball game, whole new set of rules, and it's not something simple. Councilperson Goodrich and Zimmerman.
I'd like to make a motion to adopt. How do you want to do this, Sam? Just read this title.
There's no numbers.
There's no numbers. Just read this title that's in the bold box.
Correct.
Okay, that we adopt the ordinance of the City Council of the City of Ferndale, Washington, repealing certain portions of the Ferndale Municipal Code, Section 14-11. And we have to do two separate motions.
Yeah, correct. So one will do one vote on that.
So it's been moved and seconded. Discussion on that. Councilor Zimmerman, did you have that on this?
I just want to clarify. When you quoted 1983, was that the term you used? Was that a section of federal law? Was it a year? Or what was
federal
it?
Code.
That's a federal code, 1983. Thank you.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries 5-1. Next one.
I'll go ahead and make the other one.
You're on a roll. Councilperson Goodrich.
That we adopt an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Ferndale, Washington, repealing certain portions of the fee code and fee summary by reference ordinance number 1580 as amended.
Second. Moved and seconded. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Let me clarify that. I'd like to abstain. I didn't say that, and I know if I don't say abstain, then I'm officially a no. So I will be abstaining from this.
Abstain from this one?
Yeah, both of them, but I didn't say it last time, so.
When you abstain, it has the effect of a no vote.
It has the effect of a no vote.
But he already voted.
By not voting, it's.
Maybe he didn't vote on the first. Backwards and abstain? Okay.
No. You ask.
He can state that he didn't vote. I was watching what he didn't vote.
Okay. All right. Okay. Motion passes.
Motion to adjourn.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.